Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the final chapter of the Great Canadian Songbook. Woo! Really, it all comes together right at the end. As always, I'm Jackson Wells. I'm here with my co-host, Keegan Gingrich. Keegan, tell me how you're doing today.
Hey, I'm pretty good. We're coming down to the end of the semester, and that's exciting. Coming down to the end of university for me. That's exciting. That's,
yeah.
Undergraduate university. It's going to going to continue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, feeling good. We got a Miller, and you know, I could be worse. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Today's been, you know, they're like, okay, now let's just get all the work done right now that it's the end. Let's just go. So the grind has been real, as I'm sure everyone is aware with. So I won't spend time complaining about it. But yeah, it's been super busy, but you know, productive. And I think everyone's probably happy to be on the downswing.
Yeah, that's for sure. The hopeful decline of things for the time being.
So Keegan, leading up before we get to the finale, I've been asking this question. I've actually been one of my favorite parts of the show is just seeing, you know, what have you been listening to this week? What have you been grinding through?
You know what? I'm gonna have to look. Because actually, you know, I've still been on the Dayglo kick. I think I'm still going with that. My Blink-182 has been out in full force, man. Like I'm last week it was kind of creeping in. Mm-hmm. Today I went for a drive and I just had I put Enema of the State on front to back. I'm like, great. I put off take off your pants and jacket. I had that front to back. It's the music that just gets me happy. And with all the weather and everything right now, it's just, I'm in a mood and Blink's the mood for that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, nothing new on that front. But yeah, how about you? What do you got going?
Good. Yeah, for me, I've been doing, I've been doing a lot of writing, and for whatever reason, you know, usually the answer is listen to no music while you're working, and secondly, listen to quiet and ambient stuff. I've been doing kind of the opposite of that, and for me, whatever reason, the heavier it is, the more I focus. And I've been listening to a lot of Charlie XCX, which is not heavy per se, but is her productions are really glitchy and kind of grungy sometimes. And so that's kind of been powering me through literally all day. I've been going through her. So I'm a big fan of hers. I've also listened to last year's album by Rina Sawayama, self-titled Sawayama. It's incredible. I'm really upset I didn't listen to it last year. I think you might like it. It kind of defies genre in a lot of ways. In some ways, it's a random mismatch of different songs, but all of them are really good. So therefore, it's okay. I don't know if you get those vibes. Some of it's a little harder. Some of it's a little on the poppier side. Very interesting record from British artist Rina Sawayama. I recommend it quite a bit.
That's actually really interesting because I find the same thing. The heavier music is kind of what gets me going for studying and everything. Mm-hmm. And on that same note of kind of defying genre, for me, Bring Me the Horizon is my go-to studying band. And Amo, their 2019 record, that one's kind of all over the place too with some popier songs and some super heavy metal songs. And you're what? So I definitely get the same sort of vibe. So you're not alone there, my friend. Yeah,
sometimes I'm listening to something and I'm like, I want a whole album of this song, but also a whole album of this song. Artistry, wild. Speaking of musical artists, I think it's finally time. You know, we were always going to get to this point. We were always going to have to do this. Now's the time. The final matchup, the Great Canadian Songbook, to decide the winner. We have, as of course loyal listeners will know, we're going up with 1992's Fully Completely by the Tragically Hip against 1971 Joni Mitchell's Blue. We made it.
We did it.
We're here. Well, we haven't done it yet, but we made it to the end. So, I don't know. These two albums we've talked about quite a bit. So I don't think we really need to go over them. And we've even talked a lot about the influence and kind of the power that both of them has had. Obviously, neither of them are weak in any of those aspects because they made it through some tough competitions. Mm-hmm. So now it's time to pick one of them. So I don't really know where we want to start off with this. Keegan, maybe do you have some thoughts about these albums that you want to share before we get into it, or what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'll say first off, I kind of mentioned this last week too, but like, I am really shocked that like that Joni Mitchell got as far as she did. Not that it's not like, I didn't expect it to be a good album. I just didn't expect it to beat some of the ones that it was up against. Mm-hmm. Like even off the bat, I was talking to somebody at work today, just kind of just shooting the shit. And I was like, oh yeah, like we've kind of reached like our end, and like we've decided like between these two. And he's like, oh, that beat out Neil Young. I'm like, I know, right? And it was just like an interesting thought. So I'm really surprised. But on the other hand, every time I've been mulling it over for the past like week and a bit, The Hip just belong here.
Yeah,
it's just an album that just belongs. And those are just my initial thoughts. I kind of expected one, and I really didn't expect the other one.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting conversation between the two. I'm also not too sure where to start. I'm hoping that I've delayed enough time for you to think of something.
Yeah, well, I'll just say for me, getting to these two, I feel like you're right in the sense that, like, of course, we kind of assumed Tragically Hip would be here. I was the one who was like, okay, I know that this is going to be like an influential album, an influential band, but if I'm not going to like the music, I won't like go to bat for it at all in like any of these situations. However, believe it or not, Tragically Hip, really good band, and Fully Completely is their best, like one of their best like collections of work. So they 100% earn it, both like culturally and musically. At the same time, this Joni Mitchell album, I was certain that I was going to hate it. I was like, her voice in my memory, I don't like hearing. So therefore, that's the whole album. So therefore, I will just like not like it. And believe it or not as well, great record. Very personal, very deep. And at the same time, very influential on even many of the artists that we've also covered on this show. So yeah, I think what might be best is for us to maybe look at these, and maybe if we want to recap a little bit about how we feel about them, this is going to be our last chance to talk about these albums. And then we can get into the nitty gritty of deciding between the two of them.
Sure. Yeah, that's good with me.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give it to us?
It's interesting because I think they're very similar albums in like what they're able to do. In terms of, first of all, in terms of replayability, I think that they are both very good records that you can, you know, put on front to back and do it over again and over again, and you don't really get sick of them. Again, that comes down to personal preference of what you want to listen to. But they both fit a certain mood. I think, you know, I talk a lot about how like I throw Fully Completely on if I'm going out on the rink, shooting some pucks, having a beer, you know. Doing that sort of thing. But like for Joni, like if I'm studying or if I'm just kind of like laying in bed and I just want something to chill out to, it's the album for that. So they both, they're both concise enough in their sound that they don't take a departure. We were talking like real quick about the British artist you just mentioned and how like it's kind of all over the place. I think one of the, depending how you look at it, the either redeeming factors, or maybe not so much for, depending how you want to look at it, for both of these albums, is that they stick to a sound. They've got a sound.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, going from a super heavy rock song to like super light. Like obviously you've got Wheat Kings for The Hip, and then something like Looking for a Place to Happen, a little bit heavier or lionized, but it's not so far off the mark. So that's, I think, where I'll start with both of them, that they both fit a certain mood. They both give you a certain sound, and you know what to expect when you go to listen to these albums. It's not like you're going to be surprised really by anything on either of them. You really know what you're in for, and they don't try and stray from their brand, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Sorry. I didn't have much else on that.
No, I thought you were going to fall. That's okay. I agree. These two albums, I think, in their totality, really, really kind of justify themselves in a lot of ways. I think some albums we've listened to have been a collection of songs, and some have been kind of full works of music. And I think both of these really fit into that. One of the things that has always kind of really interested me about listening to the Joni album is I can never 100% pinpoint why I do like it so much. Aside from just, it's really good. And I think if I were to like put it on something, it's totality from top to bottom. It kind of tells this loose and more like emotional story rather than like, this is a concept album with a lengthy narrative that like you can read some Wikipedia page about and like really like learn about all the characters and stuff behind it. There is some of that to it, and it's based a little bit on real life, which is super like juicy for, you know, Hollywood types, but it's more of like an emotional journey from top to bottom, which I think really makes it the most effective. And it's not afraid to also be happy and be kind of breezy while also going through this kind of, it's a breakup album in many ways. And maybe it's about someone, but it's also kind of about the themes in general. I think that's what makes it so effective. And the same kind of goes for Fully Completely, where I will say that it is in some ways a little bit more abstracted, and maybe you've got to dig in there a little bit to know 100% what's going on, but it doesn't make things like too abstract and too confusing. And you can listen to it and even on first listen be like, oh, they're like talking about something as opposed to just kind of performing music. And I think that's kind of what elevates these two, not necessarily above the rest, but it elevates these two albums in many ways.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was having that exact same thought. They're both grounded in storytelling. Mm-hmm. They're not just making a song for the sake of making a song. Like, I don't get that impression from any of either of the albums, or honestly, like they're going into it with a purpose. And they're doing it to tell you about something. They're not just like putting a piece of music out for the sake of it. And that's something that I think they have in common. And actually I really appreciate about both of them. You can connect two things that are tangible. It's not like, you know, they're not talking about like rocket ships and fucking like who else knows what, but they're talking about something that like everybody can relate to or experience. Like the Hip talk about things that have happened in Canadian history. And you go, hey, I know that thing because I'm Canadian. I know that thing that happened.
Yeah.
Or Joni, it's like, you know, oh, she's talking about the feeling of like going through a breakup. I know what that feels like. That's super hard. And so the relatability of the records, I think, and the familiarity of them is what makes it both of them very, very powerful in that way. They're not aimless, right? Mm-hmm. They're really trying to do something for you.
Yeah, I think both these records are really great at kind of and in some ways like portraying a time in either in historically or contemporarily of like, this is just what things are like, how I'm feeling, and that kind of in being so popular kind of speaks more to a time in general as well. I think that's super exciting, and I really like these two albums. So now I think it might be time for us to maybe do some of the hard work, the worst part of this job and that we've burdened ourselves with. And I feel like we've compared them in some ways, but if there's more room for comparison, now's the time to do it. And then ultimately we will have to decide which one is the quote unquote winner. So I'll leave it up to you to start us off.
Yeah, I think the first thing you can go to is production. If you want to talk about the quality of maybe the records, I think the production the difference in production is quite vast. You've obviously got like a very, very heavily produced record with the Hip versus a very raw record with Joni Mitchell. Not really trying to hide behind anything. Not that I think the Hip are hiding behind anything, by the way. They're very out in the open. But two different styles of music at the end of the day, I think, in what they sound like. Maybe in intention they're the same thing, but in terms of what they come out to be and what the output is, I think they're very different. The glowing one for me is the cultural aspect. I think we're talking a lot about what makes, you know, a record more Canadian than the other record. What makes it the best Canadian record? Not just the best record, but the best Canadian record. And mm-hmm. I think something that we've talked about a lot is the cultural component. Obviously, you're going to find that more with some groups compared to others. I think, you know, with bands like The Hip and Rush and what have you, you're going to have a more Canadian view of them. But I think the thing that The Hip do so well is that they're able to find the common ground. And able to point to things that are tangible in Canadian history that only Canadians would understand. Mm-hmm. Not even all Canadians, but like, unless you're a Canadian, the chances of you knowing who Hugh McLennan is, for example, probably not very high.
Yeah.
The chances of stuff like that, or like even the Leafs, talking about, you know, 50 Mission Cap and Bill Barilko. You might know, maybe, but unless you're from Toronto or you're a Leafs fan, you probably don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stuff like that where I go, you know, for me, I look at The Hip and I go, man, they're really connected with Canadian identity and Canadian culture. And I just don't think it's the same with Joni. And that's not to discredit her as an artist. It's just to say that culturally, you know, where I think Joni is more important for women artists and for, you know, the effect that she had in the long run. I think if we're talking about Canadian identity, it's got to be The Hip in that comparison. And I hate to jump to the conclusion right away, but I mean, for me, I'm like, I look at it and I go, they're both fantastic albums. And I think it just depends on the metric of how you look at the albums. If we're talking about maybe the most glowing one, the influence on Canadian artists versus women artists. You know, depending which lens you're looking at these through, you're obviously going to get a different result. But I think in that way, it's got to be The Hip.
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of like the obvious choice, but I mean, it's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm curious to hear what you have to say, though.
Yeah, these two records, clearly, I think they have maybe more underlying similarities than maybe at first listen. They both feel like deeply personal, but also kind of more affective, like in general, of like kind of portraying a mood and a feeling and kind of an identity. But I will agree that if the identity that we're looking for is Canadian identity, The Hip does that. And one of the things I remember saying this on our very first episode, is to me, being a band that identifies with Canada isn't necessarily like, how about that Hugh McLennan fella? Like, I think there's more to that. I think it's really easy that if you're in Canada to reference things in Canada, because you look up and you go,
Canada.
this street that I'm living on, that's in Canada. Well, of course you're going to reference that, because that's the street that you live on. Sure, it situates you in Canada, but I think that's kind of easy. But I think in some ways The Hip kind of digs into that deeper like ethos in a more specific way. And we've been saying this about Joni's album from the beginning. It doesn't necessarily feel Canadian in really any way. I believe she references her hometown at some point. I remember this, but it's more so that it's just like such a great record. And its effects are more universal than they are Canadian specific. So for digging into kind of the Canadian-ness of an album, which I think in some ways maybe we've taken a step back from and kind of just talked with them in general, which is fine. And I think it has worked out for us. It's hard to deny the fully completely in this kind of case.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm trying to think of like, if any other albums would really, like when I think of Canada, you know, like I think Canada, like what's Canada's group, what's Canada's band. Rush is really the only one that comes close, and they're a more alienating band, I think, than the Tragically Hip. Not like because they're bad people or anything like that, because that is definitely not the case. But just, it's kind of like you either love them or you kind of hate them, where I think with The Hip, everybody kind of accepts them. Yeah. And it's like two different things, right? Like, you know that they are our thing, whether or not you like them. They're a part of what Canada is. And I mean, we've talked about this before too. And I mean, it's the age old question, I think, in communications, you know, or like what's going to, you know, what's going to fucking make the Canadian identity, and what's going to, like, who are Canadians? And you know, you can have the debate all you want. You know, I'm a historian. Like, that's, I don't know how long we've been having this damn argument. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, we've been trying to find our way for the better part of like a century. We still don't know. We don't know shit. And so I think when we find things that we can kind of latch on to, it's not only special, but like pretty important too. Mm-hmm. You know, we claim people like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young as Canadian because they are. But we don't embrace them the same way that we do with bands like The Hip and to some extent even Rush and those people. So it's a bigger conversation, but I'm not too sure how to flesh that out without going into like a deep dive rabbit hole of like, what are Canadians? Researching
and let me read some articles. I think to your point too, if we're taking a step back, I remember in my first year, the first kind of course they make you take in communications, I'm obviously a communication student, is either CS100, CS102, and the CS101. And 101 is kind of like issues in Canadian communications or whatever. And the first question that my prof asked is like, what does it mean to be a Canadian? And then we were all like, I don't know. It's a really tiring question to ask. And there's a lot going on. And I think it's kind of a trick question because the answer doesn't really matter, in my opinion. It's what you make it. And one person can't really create a giant cultural identity. Groups of people can't. It just happens. And there's no real answer to how... I'm sure there is. I don't like care to know what it is. If I'm being honest, it's what makes things Canadian is a question we've kind of been talking about throughout the entirety of the show since November. Time moves so fast. I don't know. But the one thing I do know is that fully, completely feels like it's it.
Yeah. And that's just it, right? And like, I'll touch on this real quick too, just because I want to bring some history into it. Like, when we talk about culture and we talk about like what binds us, and obviously I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but like, we are a very new country. You know, people seem to forget that, but like, we've been around for 164 years. Was that right? Or is it 154? 154. Sorry, math is hard. You know, so like, it's not that long, guys. You know, you've got things like British culture. Like, there's still a stereotype that British people are obsessed with tea. They became obsessed with tea in like the 1820s. We weren't even like a thought of as its own like sovereign country yet. So when I say like we're talking about culture, like, we're still figuring it out. But I think you're right. I think it's what you make of it. And I think when you find things and you find people and you find these markers of cultural identity, such as, in my opinion, fully, completely, you hang on to them and you take them at face value for what they are. And while they might be the obvious things, they're not necessarily the wrong things. So that's where I go on it.
I don't have anything to add, but one thing I don't know if I've ever mentioned even to you is that I'm also like a cultural studies double major. Therefore I should probably know the answer, but I don't. But I agree with everything you said. So I think the obvious thing is we've already said it, but we haven't actually declared it, but fully, completely, The Tragically Hip is the greatest Canadian album. I think we can agree to that.
It's the greatest Canadian album. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there will certainly be challengers along the way. Mm-hmm. I think as the years go on and the days past, you know, there's going to be things that come up, or, you know, we might even go in revision and, you know, a couple of years down the line, we'll look back and go, wow, look at how that album's grown. Like, look at our little child. Look at our baby. You know, we'll look at Pop's Morbid stuff and go, hey, guys, you were really on to something there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the time. Mm-hmm. It's always going to change. It's always going to change things, how you look at things. But I think it's the right call to say that the Fully Completely is mm-hmm. the greatest Canadian album of all time.
I agree. Congratulations to the Tragically Hip. Keegan, I want you to check your phone because I sent you something. Okay. I think we have prepared something in order to congratulate the Tragically Hip. I have found... a beautiful Canadian trophy that I think we can engrave for fairly cheaply. And I have found the corporate office for the Tragically Hip, and we will be sending it to them when I'm done writing all these papers and I have time to focus on it.
This is going to be the best $20 we've ever spent in our life.
Of course. Trophies cheaper than you'd think, believe it or not. Congratulations, the Tragically Hip. If you're listening, you know, just keep an eye out to your corporate offices. You know what? There's probably no one there because, you know, society. But I'll find some way to visualize it for people who may be interested. Maybe Keegan, we can put something together real quick.
It's like a reward. Imagine like the shape of like a hockey puck, but with some things like coming out of it and a lot of maple leaves on it. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, it just says your logo here.
That I'm going to get the Canadian Songbook logo in there.
Oh my Lord. Yes. This is so good. And so then we'll just put like 2021 winner, the Tragically Hip.
And the price includes engraving. It's $12.95. So everyone, if you want your trophies, just Google cheap trophies and you'll find this one.
I would like to state that Waterloo Minor Hockey lied to me for about 15 years of my life because I thought these things were worth a lot of fucking money and they're not.
They are not.
Thanks, guys. You really just ruined my childhood. Appreciate it.
It's incredible. And now that we've decided, I've also prepared something that I teased last week. I'm calling it Songbook Superlatives, where I've just put together a list of like greatest or like biggest or like least. And we can maybe, I'll throw them at you. I only have a couple, so this shouldn't take too long.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, maybe you might want to pull up our list of albums just in case.
I think it's on my phone. I don't even know if I have it on the computer. Mm.
So I'll give you a second there and I'll like kind of talk through. So basically I'm just going to say a couple things and we'll decide one of them just for fun. Cause I think it's fun to reflect. Reflecting we say is boring, but I think reflecting is awesome. And okay. The first one, you ready, Keegan?
Yeah.
Biggest disappointment, starting off negative.
So is this like, I expected it to be good and it sucked or just, I hated it.
Disappointment to me, puts expectations on something. So
okay.
Maybe that.
You're gonna hate me for this. You're gonna be really mad at me.
No, that's okay.
I despise that Carly Rae Jepsen album. I absolutely fucking hated it. And the only reason I let it go forward is because you hated Leonard Cohen so much. And like, because I did not mind Leonard Cohen's record, mm-hmm. and you wanted that damn thing so bad. And I'm like, God damn it. And so I expected a couple of them to be good. Mm-hmm. I just fucking hated it. Like it was just awful.
You're right. I did hate you for that. Mm-hmm. I'll say for me, thinking of like disappointment in terms of something I thought I would like more than I did. I really had hopes for, I didn't think Shania was ever going to beat City and Color in the first round, but I was like, maybe she might have a couple bangers in there. And there wasn't really. I completely forgot we even listened to that album. It was not so bad. I was hoping for something better, but yeah. Okay. So that's not the only negative one, but
yeah.
No, so not God, negative.
No. Okay.
Biggest surprise. In my head, this is positive. Like biggest, like, oh wow, that was actually really good.
This one's a double whammy for me. Mm-hmm. I think the obvious one is Joni Mitchell. I think I've talked about that a lot. Yeah. I was shocked at how good this album was. Really, really, really impressed by it. The other one was The Weeknd Trilogy. As someone who's never really, again, I've mentioned this a lot, never really listened to The Weeknd. Wow. Really, really, really good. And the fact that it made it so far is a testament to that. Really, really surprised by that one. Yep.
Awesome. I would agree with Joni. I think for me, the other one is Buffy St. Marie, Power in the Blood. I kind of put it on there because I was like, I feel like it's a culturally, this is an important album to get on there. And from all the stuff that I was reading about it, but I didn't know if I would like actually like it, but I was very pleasantly surprised with that album. I think it was inventive and like super interesting and then like also like valuable as like a conversation piece. So yeah, that's my other biggest surprise. Now thinking of our matchups, what do you think was the biggest upset in our matchups?
The biggest upset, I would. This is actually a toughie. I think Buffy St. Marie beating 5 Days in July. I was really upset about that one. Yeah, because I really thought like that was like a cultural cornerstone. And then having the discussion, I came to realize that like, damn, good album still, absolutely. But yeah, Buffy beat them out. So that was mine, followed up by Carly Rae Jepsen, actually, because I really didn't want that thing to go past the first round. And the fact that it did was shocking. And like, I honestly thought you'd have a convincing argument to get it past Moving Pictures as well. So I'm glad that didn't happen for your sake and mine. Definitely 5 Days in July for sure. Yep.
I think in terms of upsets for me, I think of Joni versus Neil Young. That one, I like went into that episode being like, okay, this is a formality in some ways. Cause of course Neil Young Harvest, but then after listening to both albums and then like doing the episode, I was like, it's Joni, isn't it? And then it was. And for me, I thought Neil Young was going to be in the finals based on kind of the way we had it set up. But Joni, she powered through.
We love to see it.
Okay. This one's a bit of a fun one. What album have you had on repeat the most since? It could be a first listener, it could be in general. So like, what album do you listen to and you've kept listening to it?
I think we have the same answer on this. It's City in Color. Bring Me Your Love. It's just really good. It's one of those, I think a couple of records on this, they all fit like kind of a mood. But with Bring Me Your Love, it's really ambivalent. Like it's, you're able to get it in so many different situations. And like, honestly, I already had all these songs on my playlist before we started this and like, they're just staying. That's gotta be number one. For fun, I'll do number two. And that's going to be The Hip too. It just is what it is. I will add though, the one that I didn't listen to before that I now listen to because of this, is probably going to be Joni. So that's an interesting one too. Yeah.
I'll say for me, I'll go with some oddball choices. I've actually listened to Funeral by Arcade Fire a couple times since we were really mean to it. and I'm like, oh, okay. But I still stand by most of what we said that episode. And then also, of course, big fan of that Carly Rae Jepsen Motion. That one I've had on, especially that's a very light and inviting album. And since it's been getting a little nicer out, I've been going out, you know, listen to something when you're going out on that walk in Waterloo Park. If you see me out there, you know I'm listening to Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion.
I really, 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 really like this.
That's what I say out loud when I'm walking outside in front of a whole bunch of people.
In Waterloo Park. Waterloo Park.
I worded this weird. What do you think was maybe an underdog album that you didn't expect very much? This is kind of along the lines of surprise. So if it's too similar, we'll just skip it. But underdog where it's like, oh, like I had low expectations and then it kind of overperformed. or even if it didn't, or even if it didn't do well in the kind of like actual bracket, you were like, oh wow, this one actually, like, I had really low expectations and it did well.
I'm just looking real quick here. Mm-hmm. I would say it, I don't even think it did well. But like Wheatfield Soul.
Yeah. I forgot about that album, kind of.
Yeah. It didn't really do well, but I felt like we actually gave it quite a bit of attention and we talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't expect it to be good.
No,
if I'm going to be honest, and like I was pleasantly surprised by it. I don't think it got as far as what maybe not it should have, but like it could have. Yeah. But yeah, no, that would probably be my pick there for sure.
I would agree. I was like, oh, you know, the Guess Who, yeah, popular band. Yeah. Did they only just have one hit in American Woman? Probably. And I listened to We Feel Soul and I was like, nah, this album's deep. And it's like kind of got its roots in that kind of era of rock and roll, and in some ways pioneered it somewhat, some might say.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and this is a fun one. And I think we'll probably have the same answer to this one. Okay. I thought it was a joke because superlatives always have this one, but most likely to succeed. And how I read this as is an album that we think will age very, very well, that maybe we didn't have the time to like say like, oh, this is the one, but it's too new. So the influence question marks, but with age, it'll succeed and be part of the cultural conversation.
I think it's City and Color. Personally, I think that record, cause we're only 14 years removed, which is, it's all right. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to find 10, 15 years, man. That thing is really, really going to become important. Not just for Canada, but also for Dallas Green. I think as his career goes on, because obviously nobody's young forever, everybody's going to look back and go, fuck, he was really onto something there.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some other ones that like maybe you could talk about, like even Morbid stuff, like maybe eventually it could be something. But yeah, man, Bring Me Your Love. Oh my Lord. That's going to become a very, very important record for Canada.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, another one that we talked about this specifically with is The Weeknd's trilogy. We talked about how in some ways it kind of revitalized, but like informed the way like that kind of music would be like created for the preceding like 10 years. And I think with even more hindsight, The Weeknd is going to be looked at as like kind of like a stopping point in that like early 2010s of like the direction R&B and like in some ways rap has kind of gone. We'll see R&B and like the way his kind of vibes has kind of permeated throughout the music industry, not even as a Canadian, but in like the genre as a whole. I think he will really kind of stand the test of time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that, because I think that mixed with Drake, like you're going to have kind of the usual, not the usual suspects, but what we now know to be the usual suspects. I think you're going to find that quite a lot. And like from a history point of view, being the person that I am, like, I think, you know, you're really going to, when people start doing studies on this in 20 or 30 years or whatever it might be, because that's what happens. They're going to point to that and how it ushered in a new thing. Like even Bieber will probably be a part of that conversation as well, if we're talking about Canadians.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really interesting thing to look at that and go, hey, how did they shifted it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cool. Frank Ocean will probably be in that conversation as well.
Yes, I love him.
So yeah, really, really cool thing to point out actually. And I'd be interested to see a study on that too.
Yeah. I agree. This is some good stuff. Okay, that's all I had in terms of songbook superlatives. Big fan of alliteration on this show. So yeah. That's been the Great Canadian Songbook. We did it. We were able to figure out how a bracket works. And then we were able to place albums in that bracket. And then
we got through the hardest part early, basically.
Those first couple meetings, I was like, I can't understand how a bracket works. What is wrong with me?
I'm like, how many am I supposed to have here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been really fun to do it. And short, you know, not too long, about 15 episodes, but it's been nice to do it, kind of take my mind off of other things for for an hour or so every week, and that's been good. And whether you kind of follow it along with us, or if you're listening in the future, hope it was entertaining and listening to us bitch about stuff.
Listen to some of these records. You'll be able to tell which ones we didn't like as much, but the ones we did like, give them a listen. They're valuable.
Yeah. So actually, maybe that's a question I can ask you. If you were to recommend three albums from this that you absolutely definitely have to listen to, and it doesn't have to be the final two, three albums that you think you have to listen to from this 24 song bracket.
That's a tough one. I think the first one to me, I say Pup's Morbid Stuff, just because I think it's probably underrepresented. So I feel like it deserves the push from people. And then I would also say I'm picking some of the smaller ones just because I think people need that push. Buff Timmery's Power in the Blood is very interesting, and it's not what you think it's going to be when you listen to it. And so that push I think is maybe necessary for some people. And then, I'm gonna say Emotion from Kelly Jepsen. Maybe if you don't want to listen to a whole album of that, find some of the hits from this album and add them into your like upbeat and like happy playlists, and listen to them in a park, and they'll be super useful there, and they'll be super fun. I think the other ones are either well-run territory or I didn't like as much. So yeah. What about you?
I'll probably go with the well-run territory, cause I think you covered the surprising ones, I think. Mm-hmm. Tragically Hip, Fully Completely. I'm telling you, go out this summer, have a campfire with your friends, have a couple too many beers. It's a great album. And I think
on their whole discography. If you're going out,
whole goddamn thing on, why not? And it's just one of those things where I think it's just a good bonding album. You just have it on, you don't have to even actively listen to it. I think it's just having it on in the background, chilling with your buds. You're like, yep, this is it. And that's the best way I can explain that. Rush's Moving Pictures, hearing the synth come in on that first opening of Tom Sawyer and that drum beat, man. I'm telling you, if you got the record, put it on, turn down the lights, pop it on, crank it up. Oh my God, I'm telling you, it's a transcendental experience. It's really something. And then the third one, like this, I'm telling you, you'll never get tired of this damn record. Bring Me Your Love, City in Color. Please do yourself a favor. I promise you will not regret it. I think Waiting is some of the best songwriting that I've ever heard in my goddamn life. Please do yourself a favor. Put that record on. I promise you it will go down in the history books as one of the best to come out of a Canadian artist. So, yeah, agreed. That's my spiel.
Yeah. Check these albums out. I'm telling you, folks, there's some real good ones on here, and a lot of them are on this list because we like them or because everyone on the internet said that they were the best. So someone's got to be right. Thank you, Keegan, for taking this journey with me. I had a lot of fun. And then thank everyone who either listened along to us, just us, or listened along to the music with us. I think it was a good experience. I had this nice routine where I would like listen to them over the weekend and then that day kind of sit and like marinate on it for good measure. I had a lot of fun listening to it. I don't really have anything else to say, Keegan. Do you have any last words for the people out there?
Yeah, no, thank you for doing this. And like on a personal note, it's a lot of fun. And I like talking music, and that was, I think, the biggest thing when you brought the idea up to me. I'm like, dude, I want to be a part of this. Like, that'd be a lot of fun. I always love talking music. And I think that sometimes those conversations don't always happen between people, because I think finding people that have similar but like not similar music interests as you is like it's a hard thing nowadays, because I think there's like very much a what everybody listens to. Mm-hmm. And then like what I listen to, which is like really small over here.
Yeah.
So it's nice to kind of to mix that up and have the conversations. And I mean, I'm always happy to do it anyways. So it's a lot of fun. No, other than that, I don't have a whole lot. I think that Canadians should be proud of the music that we have. That we have a lot more than we're even talked about in this list. There's a couple that didn't even make the conversation, but I'm certain could be considered, you know. There's lots. So
And I will say, in the day, I think we also were able to, you know, chat a little bit about identity and like culture and Canadianness, which was maybe super like boring to some people, but I thought was good personally. I think chatting about that stuff is interesting and valuable. And I didn't want it to be like, what music made me smile the most or feel the most? I think it was important to kind of have kind of broader cultural conversations. I think they're valuable, even if it's just for me, selfishly. But yeah, I think we're able to do some fun stuff and maybe some good stuff. Who's to say? Not me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So, not until next week, but until forever, that's been, the book closes. And we will say, signing off for the last time, everyone, be safe, have a nice break. If you're taking a break, good luck on exams if you're writing them. And yeah. And until we meet again, what's the last line of O Canada?
We stand on guard for thee. Don't sing it.
We stand on guard for thee, and for thee, I mean you.